here Paul wrote this letter by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to this Gentile church in Ephesus, which happened to be the largest church in the world at the time. And this church was pastored by Timothy, and at one point was going through some severe persecution. But I want you to notice what he said in Ephesians 1, 16. And he made this statement. He said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Then he went on to say that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So he went on to pray God's purpose and plan for those people in that place at that time. But God's purpose and plan hasn't changed throughout the ages. Amen. It is still His purpose and His plan for all people today to understand some things about redemption. But I want you to notice what Paul did initially. The first thing he said was, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." I want to talk about Thanksgiving this morning, but from a different viewpoint. All of us should understand and practice Thanksgiving as a part of our lives. That is just naturally appreciating what people have done for us or what people do for us, and appreciating what God has done for us. We need to be thankful people. We have a lot to be thankful for. You know, we sometimes have taken things for granted. But if you compare your life here in the United States of America to just about anybody else on the planet, we are very fortunate. We are very blessed. Just ask Pastor Martin, who establishes churches in Ghana and Sierra Leone and Liberia. You know, when we first planted the church in Monrovia, and he planted the church. We just partner with him and help him financially. But the unemployment rate was 90%. They had just come out of a civil war. The infrastructure was destroyed. It was a miserable place to live. It still is by our standards. And so we have much to be thankful for. But I don't want to talk about the attitude of Thanksgiving. All of us should understand that. We should all be appreciative of what God has done and what others do for us. There's nothing worse than people who have an attitude that is unthankful. Nothing worse than that. In fact, the Bible says that in the last days, men would get so bad that they would be covenant breakers, unthankful and unholy. And so an unthankful attitude is a very ungodly character trait to possess. Amen. We need to be thankful people. And it doesn't matter who you are in life or what you've experienced, you have reason to give thanks. Some people, you know, sort of become reserved if they hit a tough spot in life. Trust me, I've been there. Nobody knows more than me, but yet I can still thank God for His goodness and for His grace. He's doing wonderful things in my life. He has always done wonderful things. He's never stopped doing wonderful things. So we need to have that attitude of thanksgiving, but we also need to have a posture of thanksgiving. Now, let me shift gears for a little bit, and let me give you a little bit of insight. When Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, he said that many times, in many instances. Now, from a ministerial role, one of the things that every minister should do is P-R-A-Y, pray. Pray for what? Well, more specifically, pray for whom? The people that they minister to. And so I spend a lot of time praying, not for myself, but for others, specifically for you. And many times that posture of prayer, you've got to have faith to do it. You with me? I mean, Paul said some great things about the church at Corinth. You know, that was a crazy place. They weren't some crazy people. There were people doing things in the church at Corinth that would curl your hair today. But yet he gave thanks for those people. You know why he did that? Because he saw God's purpose in them. He saw what God had planned for them. And so in spite of their present position, he was being thankful to God for what he intended for them to do. There have been times I prayed for people, laid hands on people, and I knew exactly what they were supposed to do. I knew exactly where they were supposed to be. Sometimes I even had like a little preview and saw them do and say things that were so far beyond where they are right now. Now, depending on the person, many times I'll share that with them. I said, you know, God has a plan for you, brother, and it's not where you are now. And sometimes they'll look at me with that, you know, dog in a new pan look, huh? You know? But we have to get beyond our present circumstances and focus in on what God has in store for us. And so from that posture, you can give thanks for people, even though they may not be in the right position right there. Did you know that everybody doesn't always get it right away? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that? Even some of the people that we read about in the pages of the Bible were not spiritual giants. Some of these people were just like us. If you really want a clue, all of them were just like us. There was one exception, Jesus, who was born without sin and lived without sin. But think about Abraham. I was thinking about Abraham this morning when we were singing, "Our God is an awesome God, He reigns." Did you realize that it took Abraham 25 years to get it? God's purpose for his life took him 25 years. God would come to him, reveal himself to him, and said, you know, I'm going to bless you, and your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven or like the sand on the seashore. And Abraham doesn't have child one. And Abraham just didn't get it. And so finally, you know, he and Sarah got together. Sarah had this great idea. Hey, I've got this woman who works for me named Hagar. Why don't you take her for your wife? You know, she can bear children. So it took him 25 years to get it. But here's something that I thought of recently. And that is this. In Genesis chapter 18, you see God having a conversation with Abraham about something that he was about to do. There were five cities around the Dead Sea, two of them, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was about to judge them. But he said, can I keep this thing that I'm about to do from my friend Abraham? So he discussed with Abraham what he was about to do. And Abraham seemingly negotiated with God that if God could find 10 righteous people, he would spare the whole place for the sake of 10. Sad thing was, he couldn't find 10. But even at that time, and that's not my subject here, but even at that time, Abraham and Sarah still didn't get it. And the Lord happened to say, at that time, about the same time next year, I'm going to be back and you're going to embrace a son. You know what Sarah does? She laughs. She's laughing. Now, why is she laughing? She's thinking, you got to be kidding me. I'm 90 years old. This man's almost 100. I've never been able to have children. She didn't get it. But you know what? After Sodom and Gomorrah were obliterated, Abraham got it. Hey, he wasn't laughing anymore. After he saw that display of God's power, he got it. And many times, some of you haven't gotten it yet. But I believe you will. So I thank God for you. Amen. Maybe you need to see a display of God's power. I think of men like Fred, sitting right here. Fred was telling Marcella's testimony last week. You know, one Sunday morning, I just had a word of knowledge. Hey, if you've got a problem on the left side. Well, Fred was walking on a walker and had a hearing aid in his left ear. Laid hands on him. Well, the Lord healed Fred. How long has it been since you had that walker, Fred? It's a little over 2 years, isn't it? Yeah, been a while. And he called me up and said, you know, I took my hearing aid out. I said, that's nice. Can you hear? He said, I hear things I've never heard before. Well, God's power is displayed by His grace. We don't want God's power displayed in judgment, but, you know, think about this. After Sodom and Gomorrah were obliterated, Abraham and Sarah, they got it. They got it. They weren't laughing anymore. And faith was no longer a problem for them. Are you with me? And so not only is there the attitude of thanksgiving, but there's the posture of thanksgiving. Now, what is the posture of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving recognizes what God has done and is thankful for what God has done. But listen to me. You can have great hope because what God has done, He will continue to do. If He did it yesterday, He'll do it today. If He did it yesterday, He will do it tomorrow. And so we can have great confidence in Him based on His past performance, but more importantly, based on His Word. Are you with me? So turn with me in your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. We're looking at the posture of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4. And this is a very familiar passage to many of us. Philippians chapter 4. Here Paul, focusing in on the subject of prayer, makes a statement that we all need to be mindful of. It says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." Now, that's an old English expression. We don't use language like that. But the word care here is a Greek word, merimneo, and it literally means to be anxious or to be worried. So here Paul, writing to another Gentile church, says, don't be anxious or worried about anything. Now, how can we get to that place where we're not anxious or worried about anything? He said, but in everything, by prayer, the Greek word prosyuke, which indicates face-to-face communion with God, supplication or petition simply means asking. And notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the Amplified Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes knowledge, shall garrison up, guard, and protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here is the formula for successful prayer. Don't be anxious, worried about anything. But in everything, in every situation, in every circumstance, through prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, why is thanksgiving so important? Well, thanksgiving indicates simply that you trust in God's provision. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we hold or have, the Greek word echo, hold or possess, the petitions that we desired of Him. So all we have to do is ask according to His will. Well, how do you know the will of God? Let's see. There's a whole book full of the will of God. There's a whole book full of the will of God. You know, there's some people who are so silly, they come away with this idea, well, you know, God is mysterious and His ways are past finding out. You never know what God's going to do. Do you know some people think that's in the Bible? I hate to bust your bubble, but it's not. That statement is not in the Bible. There's a bunch of stuff we cling to that's not in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, it's good. You need to be clean, but that's not in the Bible. You know, when I was living in Missouri, I worked for a pharmaceutical company, and part of my territory was St. Louis City and six counties in southern Illinois. East St. Louis, Illinois was part of my territory. That was an experience, brother. But from a sales standpoint, it was great because I had it all to myself. Everybody else was too afraid to go over there. And I just didn't go over there when the sun went down, that's all. But I had the whole place to myself. But as you're leaving East St. Louis, about to get on the bridge, go across the Mississippi back into Missouri proper, where the arch is, As you're leaving East St. Louis, you always saw this sign, cleanliness is next to godliness. And East St. Louis was one of the most filthy cities in the United States. When I lived there, they hadn't picked up garbage in 2 years. 2 years. Their fire trucks had pumpers that didn't pump. So if your house caught fire, you're done. You get everybody out, they call the neighboring fire departments and they would come and squirt the houses next to you. If you call the police, you can identify with this. If you call the police, the average response time was 40 minutes. 40. And so all the criminals in Missouri knew that. So if they jacked you in Missouri, they'd take you across the river. They got 40 minutes. That's how bad this place was. Some of the sweetest people on earth live in East St. Louis, Illinois. But the problem was their leadership was corrupt. The government was corrupt. They were in it for what they could get. And so the man who finally unseated the mayor, who was mayor of East St. Louis when I lived there, he made one campaign promise. I promise I'll pick up the garbage. And he won by a landslide. One promise, I'll pick up the trash. But yet they had this big sign on the highway. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's nice, but it's not in the Bible. Neither is God is mysterious and his ways are past finding. That's not in the Bible. God's will is revealed by his word. And so if you can find it in the word, then you can pray accordingly, believe, and thank God for the answer. Are you with me? If you can find it in the word, I always tell people, find scripture that covers your case. What does the Bible say about it? Then you can hang your hat on there. Now the posture of thanksgiving can kick in because you have a basis for your prayer and a basis for your faith. Thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and then you can walk in the peace of God. Now, Colossians chapter 2. You're in Philippians. Go over to the next book, Colossians. Just turn the page. Chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. What does that mean? Well, another translation says persevere in prayer. And many times we get a misimpression about what it means to persevere or what it means to continue in prayer. That doesn't mean that you pray 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean that you pray constantly. But I spend a lot of time praying. It doesn't mean that you have to be in a certain position, you know, down on your knees. But you can pray while you're driving in the car. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray while you're doing a lot of different things. But to continue in prayer, what does that mean? Well, Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 18 about a little widow woman. And he taught this parable to the end that men ought always to pray, and he used this expression in the King James New Testament, and not faint. Well, what does that mean? That you pray constantly and you stand on your feet until you're, you know, you feel like passing out, but you just hang in there and don't. No. He's talking about praying and not fainting or quitting or giving up on the thing that you prayed for. And he used this illustration. He said there was a widow woman who went to an unjust judge. This unjust judge didn't fear God, didn't fear man. And she went to him and said, avenge me of mine adversary. And the scripture says he wouldn't do it. But after a while, he said to himself, though I don't fear God and I don't fear men, I'm going to take care of this woman, lest by her continual coming, she wear me out. In other words, every time I look up, this woman's in my face. Every time I turn a corner, this woman's there. She just won't quit. And so he relented just to get her off of his case. In fact, one translation says, I'm going to avenge this woman, lest by her continual coming, she weary me, assault me, and perhaps strangle me. So I'm going to take care of this woman because she's not going to let me go. Now, Jesus said this. Hear what the unjust judge said. And then he makes a transition and said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? That's you and that's me. Who cry to him day and night. Jesus said this, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. That word means without delay. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so one of the keys to successful prayer and continuing in prayer or enduring in prayer or taking a posture in prayer where you never give up on that thing that you prayed for, one of the necessary ingredients is faith. And so Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He ain't coming looking for love. He ain't coming looking for hope. Not in that regard. He's looking for faith. Will you be persistent? Will you be of the stature that you will not give up on the thing that you prayed for? It doesn't matter how long it takes or what it looks like. And so you continue to thank him for the answer. Continue in prayer. With thanksgiving. That means when you pray about that situation, you just thank him again for hearing your prayer and answering that prayer. Are you with me? You continue, you endure, you persevere with thanksgiving. Now, you're in Colossians chapter 4. Turn the page. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 2. Here Paul, writing to another Gentile church, said this, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Here's one thing that you begin to see in the New Testament that becomes a pattern. Paul the Apostle not only cared for all of these churches, but he took the time to pray for each and every one of them individually. And so we saw that he prayed for the church at Ephesus. We saw that he prayed for the church at Colossae. We see now he's praying for the church at Thessalonica. And we'll see here in a moment that he began to pray for individuals as well. Do you realize that it takes time to do that? Do you realize that he must have had a regimen that dictated the way he prayed and it took some time? I wonder if how many of us have a real prayer regimen. Or do we pray on the fly? You know? See, when I was a little kid, I used to pray before I went to bed. My mother made us pray and gave us a model for prayer. And we would always thank God for our brothers and sisters. We'd thank God for our parents. And there were times we'd thank God for our leaders in our nation. See, thank God we graduated beyond that. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Sounds nice. It's not really scripturally based, but it's, you know, sounds good, right? At least you got the kids pointed in the right direction. But Paul took the time to pray individually and thank God for each one of the churches that he administered to and for individuals. Listen, my friend, all of us have a calling to pray. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said that we should pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto and making petition for all saints. Amen. Last night I was laying on my bed watching television and a pastor sent me a text message and said, hey, pastor, just want to let you know, God put me on your heart. I'm praying for you. Amen. I said, thank you. Now, I am fortunate in that I have a great circle of friends. I've got some good, strong Christian men and women who love me and pray for me. And I happen to be part of a pastor's group here in town. We meet once a month, have lunch, pray for each other. And there are some mighty pastors who are part of that group. Pastor Reisner, Pastor Bemis, Pastor Nelson, Pastor Huntley, Father Larry Richards, and others. The guy who runs the Salvation Army, Les, he's a great guy. You talk about a sense of humor. And a great guitarist, too. You know how the Salvation Army does their kettles? And he was out playing his guitar one time by one of the kettles. And the guy said, do you do requests? He said, "Yeah, man, can you play Stairway to Heaven? Led Zeppelin." Well, guess what? He threw some Led Zeppelin on him. He's a great guy. And the guy who said that was stunned, you know. But I have a great group of people. And so, for a lot of reasons, I wasn't able to attend many of the meetings a couple years ago. And finally, when I was able to attend, I walked into the room and all of these guys said, "Man, we've been praying for you." I said, "Thank you." Then I said this, "It worked." It worked. Amen? See, we need to have an expectation that God not only hears our prayers, but answers our prayers. And if you have that expectation, then your posture is thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, because I know you heard me. Thank you for dealing with that situation. We need to have that much confidence when we pray. Now, here's something I shared on Wednesday night. There was a time when Jesus prayed for Peter just before he ascended. Peter had been through a tough time. He had denied Jesus 3 times. You know, he had to be feeling terrible. But Jesus is raised from the dead, and he happens to be cooking a meal along the seashore, yelled out, these guys are out fishing, said, "Hey guys, you catch anything?" And they said, "No." He said, "Come on over here and eat." They realized it was Jesus. And so while they're having this meal, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And this is literally what Peter said. He said, "Jesus, you know I'm fond of you." He said, "Feed my lambs." Then he asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "You know I like you, Lord." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then he asked him a third time. This had to sting. This is the same guy who denied that he knew him 3 times. "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything." He said, "Feed my lambs." And then he said this, "Peter, you know, when you were young, you got up, did what you wanted to do, went where you wanted to go." He said, "But when you're an old man, they're going to take you to a place that you don't want to go to," talking about how he would die. So Peter said, "Well, what about this guy?" Jesus said, "Hey, if he's here till I come back, what business is that of yours? Feed my sheep." And then he said this. He said, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." Now, you know, some of you ladies who are my age and older remember when your mama used to bake and sift the wheat. You remember that? Well, it's not quite the same process that Jesus was talking about, but in a short order, my paraphrase, what he said to Peter was, "Peter, Satan has desired to take you apart." And he said this, "But I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail." And then listen to what Jesus said after that. "And when you're converted, strengthen these guys." He had that much confidence in his prayer that, "Peter, I prayed for you. You're going to come through this thing. Now, when you get to the other side, take care of these fellows. Strengthen them." He had that much confidence in his prayer. You need to have the same confidence in your prayers. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. He's just waiting for you to petition him so that he can grant your request. Nevertheless, when he comes, will he find faith in you? Will you continue in prayer with thanksgiving? Now, all of us have families. All of us have people that we love. And one of the most important things you can ever do in life is pray and thank God for your family. Thank God for your family. I got a text from my son this morning. He popped into town for a couple days. He and his wife, Jen, live in Pittsburgh. And so he said, "Hey, Dad, we're going back to Pittsburgh. We'll see you around Christmas." Well, I thank God for my son. My son got saved at an early age. Early age, filled with the Holy Ghost before he was 7 years old. Thank God for my boy. Thank God for my daughter-in-law. Thank God for my daughter. Now, have they always done everything the way Pops would like them to do it? No. Am I fretful and worried about it? No. I continue to lift them up before the Lord and thank God for His purpose for them. Are you with me? We need to thank God for our families. Thank God, even if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Are you with me? Hey, listen, the most important thing you have on this planet is your family. It's not your stuff. Stuff comes and goes. You know, I've never done a funeral where there was a U-Haul behind the hearse. You ain't taking nothing with you. You leave it at all behind. Now listen, when I make a statement like that, don't shift gears and get into a negligent attitude. You need to pay attention to your stuff. You need to be a godly example in the way you handle your money and your finances. But you ain't keeping it. It's only temporary. Use it while you're here. But the only thing that you have on this earth, listen to this, here's a profound statement. The only thing that you have on this earth that belongs to you, that you have the opportunity to take to heaven with you, is your kids. Everything else you leave behind. That's the only thing you have that you can take with you. You with me? Your kids and the people that you love. That's it. Now, when my late wife went to be with the Lord, you know, that was a tough time. But you know what? I don't fret and worry about that because I know she's fine. And I got this little funny little thing that I do often. I said, boy, thank you for taking care of her. Because you know he does it in grand style. Or, you know, I really don't have to thank him for doing that, but he does. Same with my daughter. Thank you for taking care of her. The posture of thanksgiving. And now I'm in a position where I'm blessed, where I'm about to get married again to a wonderful gal. So I thank God for my wife-to-be in a few months. Amen? I look forward to it. The posture of thanksgiving. We have a lot to thank God for. Now, listen. You need to have a disciplined regimen of prayer for yourself. I'll say that again. You need to have a disciplined regimen of prayer for yourself so that you too can take up those issues that you need to deal with. Once you pray for them, continue to thank God for the answer. Take up that posture of faith. Don't be like Abraham, take 25 years to get it. You with me? Don't take 25 years to get it. You can pick it up. Amen? It's not that difficult to do. Okay, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go to the right. We're doing this in progressive fashion this morning. All you have to do is be able to make right turns and you'll be just fine. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, here's what Paul wrote to Timothy, pastoring the church at Ephesus. He said this in verse 1, 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority or eminent place, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. That is the will of God for every living, breathing person on the planet. Amen. That they be saved, delivered, and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, we have an obligation to take up that disciplined regimen of prayer. Amen. I would that first of all, prayers. First of all, prayers. First of all speaks of priority. Are you with me? I can often, as a pastor, tell where people's priorities lie. You can do it just by observation. Okay. I can tell how committed somebody is by what they do. Amen? Because basically there are two things that indicate where your heart is. Number one, and Jesus talked about this. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What did they do with their money? That speaks volumes. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I love God with all my heart. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I'm not going to camp out there. What did they do with their money? Are you with me? Number two, how do they handle their time? See, the things that are important to you, you will invest in and make time for. Are you with me? Now, there are 24 hours in every day. All of us have enough time to get everything done. I mean, I think I'm one of the busiest guys around. You know, but yet, I'm normally here Sunday morning at 9:30 for the second time. I'm normally here the first time at 7:30. Then I go back home, come back at 9:30. All right? And I work 43 hours a week. Okay, I got a lot of stuff to do. All right? But I make time for the things that are important. All of us can do the same thing. See? And you know, the problem with our culture is we've got a lot of distraction. Oh, my goodness. If you're not careful, your phone will distract you. Constantly. You know, it's funny. You go out to a restaurant now and you look at people sitting at a table. They're all sitting there playing with the phone. I had my phone this morning. You know, people text me. Sometimes I use my phone for my camera now. It takes some great pictures. It does. The iPhone takes some great pictures, man. See, but are you distracted at the expense of relationships, people, family, and most importantly, God? You with me? God. The things that are important to you, you will invest in and make time for. Amen. You will invest in and make time for. Amen. Okay, now, we've seen the priority in our lives should be prayer. Turn with me now to Philemon 1:4. Philemon is that little book that's only 25 verses long, just before Hebrews. Go to the right, progressive, go to the right. You'll run into it. Little book called Philemon. And we'll close with this. Philemon is just past 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. You see it? It's a little book. Little letter. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, notice chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Here, Paul again, in his disciplined regimen of prayer, not only praying for all of these churches, now he's praying for individuals. He prayed for Timothy. He prayed for Philemon. He prayed for Titus. He prayed for a lot of people. But he let Philemon know, I thank God for you. And every time I pray, I mention you. Boy, that's a disciplined way to pray, isn't it? That's a disciplined way to pray. Some people think that prayer is like, Lord, bless Brother Charles. That's nice. It's so sweet of you to think of Brother Charles. But I think you can do better than that. You with me? That's like going up to the drive-thru at McDonald's and saying, I'm hungry. Really, think about it. When you go to the drive-thru, they say, may I help you? Would you like to try our special today? Not one of us ever goes up to the drive-thru and says, I'm hungry, feed me. And they're going to say, what do you want? And they've made it so simple. You want number one, number two, number three? No, all you got to do is look at the sign. Really. What I'm emphasizing to you is this one point. We need to be specific when we pray. We need to have relationships with people to the degree that they, number one, have confidence to confide in us because we're not a gossiper. Amen? People come to me all the time and confide in things. One thing I say about pastoral ministry is you're the keeper of other men's secrets. It goes with the territory. And I always tell people when I counsel with them, anything that we talk about is confidential. It stays in this room. Unless, and I even have them sign a form, because I say I'll give you 4 sessions, 1 hour each, unless it's marriage, premarital counseling. Then I do 90 minutes, 4 sessions. I'm still batting 1,000, by the way. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. I have never premarital counseled any couple in 25 years that I've married that is divorced, not one. I'm batting 1,000, and I'm going to brag about it until my record goes down, but I'm bragging about it. But I always tell people in my counseling, you know, I'll give you 4 one-hour sessions. Anything we talk about is confidential unless you reveal to me that you have sexually abused a child, then I'm going to turn your butt in. That's the law in Pennsylvania. So I let people know right up front, if you tell me that, I'm telling the authorities, we need to protect our kids. You with me? We need to protect our kids. That's something that I am not silent about. That's something that God has little patience for, neither should we. But I realize there are times people need help. So we'll get them help, but we're going to call the cops too. Amen. Okay? But we need to have a disciplined regimen of prayer, a posture of prayer, to the degree that people have confidence in us so that they're willing to confide in us and they know that we'll keep their issues private. We can bolster them in prayer, strengthen them in prayer, and continue to pray for them. Now, you know, you have to ask yourself a question. I mean, look in the mirror. You know, how many people are calling you up and saying, hey, brother, pray for me? Maybe that's not the right question to ask, right? Ain't nobody calling me. Well, there's probably a reason why. You don't have a disciplined regimen of prayer in your own life. Are you with me? But when we pray, we should get results. That's God's intent. Amen? I have people that I can go to and say, hey, look, I have an issue here. I need your help. Would you agree with me in prayer? Yeah, you got it. Boom. And we stay connected in faith. Now, but I want you to notice two little words that we find in this verse. Four words, actually, three. I thank my God. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. That posture of thanksgiving never goes away. Paul prayed for Philemon and continued to thank God for this man. Thank God for what he was doing in this man. And thanking God for the way this man had ministered to him. So thanksgiving needs to be a posture that is part of our disciplined regimen of prayer every day. Amen? It's more than just a holiday we celebrate once a year in November. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving needs to be a lifestyle. And hopefully you can see how it can be incorporated into our life. That does not mean that you walk around every day like a monk, you know, with a hood on, mumbling. No. It does mean that you have a disciplined regimen of prayer, that you pray about things consistently, thank God for the answer. You pray for people consistently and thank Him for His purpose being worked in their lives. You pray for your family consistently and thank God for what He's doing in those areas. It doesn't take that long to do it. Amen? It doesn't take that long to do it. But if you'll make it a daily regimen in your life, it'll change things and it'll change you. It'll change things and it'll change you. Amen? Great things will happen when we take our position and learn how to pray effectively. But we have to have that posture of thanksgiving. That's really the essence of faith. We thank God for what He did. We also thank God for what He's doing. Amen? Well, Pastor Young, it doesn't look too bright. Doesn't look too good. Doesn't matter what it looks like. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does the book say? I can believe God's word and thank Him for the answer. Here's something that you need to remember. Faith will declare the answer in the midst of adversity. Faith will declare the answer in the midst of adversity. That means you're saying the way it's going to be. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Here's how it's going to be. Well, how can you say that with such boldness and conviction? Because I have faith in my God and faith in His Word. Here's how it's going to be. And I thank Him for the outcome. You with me? Faith declares the outcome in the midst of adversity. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. I found in life that there are times